Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
An interesting subject tonight. To sit back, relax, we're going to go on a journey. You ready? We're still in our Stand Firm series, and we're talking about worshiping God. But my question tonight, which is an open-ended question, is what does trust mean to you? If I was to come up to you tonight and say, well, who do you trust? And you could probably name a few people. Or what do you trust? You probably name a few things. And when I think of trust, I just kind of think of a couple of words as people that come to my mind, that people I trust, organizations I trust. Another thing that comes to my mind when I think of trust as in my relationship with God and my relationship with people is character. People that you trust have a certain character. And people that you trust have a certain competency about them. They can do things. So because they do it, you trust them. Like an accountant that is good, they do their work. So yeah, I can trust that person. You may not know about their character, but there's something that they do that you trust. So trust. Who do you trust? What do you trust? Now, you probably know it if you're here and maybe watching online that my wife and I, we just celebrated 40 years of marriage. Yeah. All praise to Carol. And you might say, well, how's 40 years of marriage been? Well, it's been 40 years. And we're still married. I've still got the joy component. Have my moments when I haven't. But that's life. So do I trust my wife? Yes. Does she trust me? Yes. But then I was thinking, does my wife really trust me? Who's ever thought that about their spouse? I wonder if they really trust me. And I put this point, married for 40 years, does my wife really trust me 100%? And I say no. Don't run out on me. You might say, why do you say that? Well, my wife had a number of operations over the years, had surgery, and not once has she asked me to perform that operation. So does she trust me? Yes. But there's certain areas that I'm just not competent. I used to be a butcher. Maybe I could deal with it. Now, there's a thought. Why do I need to pay all these costly medical funds? You see, there's levels of trust. And I'm going to take you on the journey tonight, and I'm not going to say I have all the answers, but I just want you to begin to think. Now, here's my question. I trust the actor who acts in his acting role or her acting role. I trust the famous singer that can sing. But I don't trust the advice that they give me on morality. Some people think because they've got a platform, they become the trusted person that has advice for every area of their life. So the levels of trust that we have within our life, there are different competencies that people carry. There are different characters that people carry, and you don't trust everyone with everything. There's certain people that you trust with this. There's a certain person you can trust with that. But I want to tell you, there is a person that you can trust with everything, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, those who trust in the Lord will never be moved. I've got trust issues. Have you? And you just kind of think, if you've got trust issues, and is it a problem to fix or is it a problem to manage? And I want to suggest today that as we look at this subject, it's not something you can fix. It's got to be something that you manage within your life. Who you trust? What do you trust? But I want to turn your attention to a little bit of a different angle. Because I think the trust affects every area of our life and living. It affects our marriage. It affects our work. It affects our relationship. It affects our spirituality. And there's different levels that we look and say, yeah, I can trust my spouse. I can, at work, there's certain people I can trust and certain people I can't. And then in relationships, there's certain people I trust and certain people I can't. And then when it comes to your spirituality, it's a bit hard because you've got to be careful who you trust. But when you look at God, we bring those same attitudes into our relationship with God, whom the one that we can trust the most, sometimes we trust the less because of bad experiences in the human level of trust. I heard this story a while ago that there was a baby that was born and the baby was all normal. As the child began to grow into a little toddler, the baby was normal. One time at about 3 or 4 years of age, this little toddler had a seizure. They took the little toddler to the doctors. They didn't know what to do, and they just thought back in those days the best thing was to give them electric shock treatment. It didn't go well and rendered the child a cripple and unable to communicate, could not communicate for the rest of their life, could not walk for the rest of their life. The parents prayed and believed for that little toddler to be healed. Took him to famous evangelist, healing evangelist, believing for the child to be healed. The family was kind of stuck at home. The only time they went on holiday was once as children because they could not look after a bedridden son or a brother and travel and go on holidays. The family seemingly had no resentment. That's just how life was. And as stated, the parents kept on believing for healing, but the child never got healed. And at the age of 24, that child died. Who was that child? That child was my brother. And you kind of look at that, and we look at trust issues. And we had to go through the whole thought of, if Jesus heals, why didn't my brother get healed? Why did he have to die? And I just think it's good for us tonight in this Stand Firm series to have a look, because I think it's easy to allow anger, grief, disappointment to become cynical and begin to say, why God? And even thoughts can creep in, is there really a God? And you might say, John, are you speaking to Christians tonight? Yes, I'm speaking to Christians tonight, because things happen within our life and we're believing and we know what the Word of God says, but sometimes things don't work out the way that we thought they would work out. And what do you do? I would like to say tonight that once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, all your problems are going to be over. The Word of God doesn't say that. He said that from now on, He will be with you. and break the power of those things that are arrayed against you. He said he'd be with you. You see, if we let the thoughts of why didn't this work out? Why didn't that relationship work out? Why didn't that financial thing work out? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't this promise get fulfilled? Why did this fall over? If we allow those thoughts to keep going around in our minds, especially when there's no clear answers, it can affect our trust. You see, I don't want to live on this earth and be full of cynicism and say, well, they look okay, but you don't know them. You don't know what's going on in the life of a person who gets up here all smiley and full of joy. It could be because in spite of the circumstances. You can't read everybody just by looking at them. We don't know their story. Everybody has a story. And there's been things we believe for and haven't happened. Relationships have failed. People haven't been healed. They've actually died. And you just kind of think, how can I trust when I'm not too sure of what the outcome is? I think each one of us has trust issues. You see, I don't know how my mother and father dealt with my brother dying. I kind of remember hearing my mother at night just sobbing herself to sleep. And then kind of memories fade. And I can't work out why they weren't bitter and twisted and walked away from their faith. And that's not the only thing that happened to them. Not only did my brother die and their son died, but just before that, they'd bought a new property and somewhere accidentally they forgot to insure it and the place got completely demolished and burnt down with no insurance. And you just kind of think, how can they still love God, trust people, and trust God? But obviously, they broke through it because they brought six kids up in the ways of God who are still all doing well. One's died since that time, but all doing well and done well. And it seems like they went through the fire, but there was no smell of fire upon them. Somehow they processed it, come out the other side, still trusting and still believing. And if I can remember my father, right up till the day he died, he was a believer. He believed in people. He believed in the Father. He believed in the Son. He believed in the Holy Ghost. He believed in the church. He believed in the virgin birth. He believed everything that song said. Now I know, if you ever gone through something, look at me, and people say to you, just trust God. Don't you want to smack them in the head? I know it's true, but it may be true, but it may be inappropriate. Yeah, my marriage is falling apart. Okay, bro, just trust God. It's truth. But not all truth heals. It's the application of the truth. You see, here's my childhood again. You know, it's easy to say, oh God, I trust you, but when things hit the fan, as it were, you just kind of say, do I dare? You know, I'm getting a bit blown apart here. I remember as a child, I used to have bad teeth. And I'd have to go to the dentist. I remember another time I had to get my tonsils and adenoids out because I just kept on getting sick. And when it came to those, you've got to get an injection against germ measles, you've got to get an injection against this and that kind of stuff. As a child, those things are still kind of vivid within my mind. Going to the dentist who felt like they used to pull your teeth out without deadening your teeth. And I can remember that each one of these situations, I'd cry and I'd strongly resist. But what I didn't know or understand mainly was this, because I had not developed mentally or emotionally. I didn't understand that I'd have to endure a little bit of pain to get better. And still today, okay, kids, let's go to the doctor. It's time for needles. Oh, yeah, can I go first? You know, that they haven't matured emotionally or mentally to think, hey, I've got to endure this to get to the other side of it so I can be better. And how does that apply to us? I think it applies to us like, God, I really don't know what you're up to. But I choose to trust you, to love you, and worship you. I wonder if Daniel probably thought that as well. He was a smart boy. Just like people here today, you're smart. See, Israel was defeated as a nation. God's chosen people were defeated, and the whole nation was taken captive to Babylon. And here he is, a believer in God and his promise that God would have a place for Israel. Now he finds himself in a foreign land. What's going on here? He was taken as a slave to a pagan nation. He had his faith tested every day. And he probably thought, why did my friends have to go into the fiery furnace? Why did I have to get thrown into the lion's den? And as an ordinary person, you would think those things. Why has this happened to me? Why have I lost my job? Or why isn't this going right? And these questions come into our life if things are not tracking the way that we think they should track. Am I in the right house tonight? But it seems like, even though he would have gone through all these human emotions, his faith in God overcame and outweighed the unanswered questions. And I want to present to us tonight, I believe there is a deeper experience for each one of us in our God as we get to know his word and get to know the God of his word, that those who trust in the Lord shall never be moved. I think Daniel and his friends, they learned a few secrets. Because at the end of the book in Daniel 11:32, he says this, those who know their God will be strong and carry out great exploits. You notice he didn't say that in chapter 1. He says that in chapter 11. It seems like he went on a journey to know his God. He knew the convictions. He knew the things that he should hang on to. But as he journeyed on in life, he didn't become adrift from God. He became closer to God because he knew that those who know their God, those who have allowed the experiences of life to build trust and not separate trust or fragment their lives, he just knew that those who can trust their God and hang on to God, they'll be strong and they'll do exploits. Where did that faith come from? Let me just give you a couple of things. I think it came from a growing understanding of who God is. And I think this may help you tonight if you can write this down. Number one is, our God is all-powerful. Well, who's the God you serve? I'm not sure. This is why we've got to connect with the Word of God, because if we know that God's all-powerful, we can begin to trust Him more. What does that mean? It's the ultimate power that is above all other powers. Didn't we sing a song? He's the name above all names. He's the King above all kings. He's got the power beyond all power. He's the sovereign one. So he's omnipotent. It's a belief that nothing is impossible with God. Daniel, he said he can save me from the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God's able to save us from the fiery furnace. Even if he doesn't, we've got to trust in him. What it is, it's a trust in his almighty power. We know that he can. We're not sure if he will, but we know that he can. And I believe if we can just get that sorted within our head tonight, not every time does God come through in flashing fire, but he can. And if he doesn't, there's something else that's going to happen that he can be glorified and you can be lifted to a higher level. got to believe it. What is belief? I believe that belief is the seedbed for trust. If I can believe that he is all powerful and don't listen to the world and don't listen to the circumstance that are saying the opposite, I begin to build a foundation in my life where I believe that my God is all powerful. You see, what possessed them to stay with it? I've seen people that come to know the Lord and they walk with the Lord for a while and then they're gone. What made them gone? What makes others stay? I believe it's this belief. You've got to believe that the God you serve, he's above everything. He's all you need. It doesn't all happen now, but if he can just get hold of your spirit and hold of your life and you follow him, you will see that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I get excited about these characters in the Bible, like Joseph back there in Genesis. Look, he betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned. Joseph had every reason to say, excuse me, stuff it all. This doesn't make sense. And I want to tell you, sometimes things happen in my life and I flip, I don't know. And you might see me up there, yeah, he's on victorious, but I have my days where I've got to process this stuff. As things come up, I've got to process and go back to this. Yes, my God is all powerful. Let your emotions get around that. Let your thoughts get wrapped around that. Joseph had every reason to abandon his faith. Why? Because God did not intervene and rescue him. When he got thrown into the pit, when he got betrayed, when he got sold as traitors, God did not rescue him. And I guarantee that Joseph thought a few times, where is God? But Joseph remained faithful to his God and worshiped God. Listen to what happened at the end. When his betrayers, his brothers, his flesh and blood had sold him out, and what was his response to them? Genesis 50 and verse 20 reads like this. This is what he says to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me. Some of you people, there's been evil intention against you. Not always. Evil intention against me. Don't forget the next bit. But God meant it for good. People's intention may not be right, but God's plan and purpose, he meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, that many people are alive and saved. What am I trying to say? I don't understand everything. And I haven't got all the answers apart from we've got to believe that God is all powerful. The other one is, not only is God all powerful, but that God is all knowing. It simply means that God is smarter and wiser, and God is smarter and wiser than we have the ability to comprehend or imagine. So what is God's omniscient? He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Isaiah 59, verses 8 and 9, let me read it to you. This plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So does that mean that we can never know the ways and the thoughts of God? No, it means this, that we've got to submit our thoughts and our ways to God, because they're much higher, much deeper than we can understand. Because we're just human and have limited knowledge, but he has all knowledge. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Ever met someone and you begin to talk, oh, yeah, I know that. Then you talk about something, oh, yeah, I know that. God is really one of those. You see, I'd rather we have hope in what an all-powerful God can do than what I am limited to do. See, God knows what we don't know. We want a better now, and I believe for a better now, but if not, there'll be a better tomorrow. God always offers a better future for those who keep their spirit right, keep their heart right, and keep trusting in the Lord their God. He says, cast all your cares upon me. Who's ever done that? Coming to church, oh God, God touches you. You walk out, Wednesday, it's back again. Another opportunity. Oh God, keep giving it to him until you let him have it. Because we keep bringing it back. Oh God, I give it to you. Yes, oh, hallelujah, joy. Wednesday, oh, flipping heck, it's back again. And we can give up and say it doesn't work. No, it does work. It works, it works, it works, it works, it works. Keep on casting your cares upon the Lord. He is present at all times and all places. If you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. If you draw near, maybe we need to fix our draw nearer. And this is what you got to hear for the last one. That God is all present, ever present, omnipresent. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. If we can keep coming back to those three simple things, when there is trust issues, God is all-knowing, God is all-powerful, God is all-present. Simply means that God goes beyond the limits of time and space as we know it. He is present at all times and all places. If you draw near, he will draw near to you. Come on. And I just want to finish on this. Trust issues. And I go over in my life. And not everything that I've believed for has become a reality the way that I wanted it. When I got first called into ministry, I thought I was going to be a missionary to Africa. I've never been to Africa. Did I misunderstand? Maybe. Obviously. But you just present that to God and he works all things out for good. I'm not living in B-class will of God. I'm living in A-class will of God. There's only one class, business class. We're all in that. Oh, I'm not living in the perfect will of God. Hey, God turns everything out for good. Now this happened, I can't be in the word. Hey, get down before your face, humble yourself before the Lord. And I want to tell you, God will do something amazing within your life. He does not have second class citizens. One class. What am I saying is, you've got to stand firm in your love for God. Sometimes you may be hurt and wounded and confused. But process it, get to the other side. People may have let you down, but God will never let you down. People in authority may have let you down, but God will never let you down. People are not God, people are people. Sometimes you may have misunderstood. Get back to God, keep a right spirit and a right heart, because God will get you where you need to go if you stay pliable and if you keep trusting and you continue to be a worshiper of God. You see, what the enemy wants to do, he wants to fill you with suspicion, cynicism. So you begin to disconnect from God because you've got cynical. You begin to disconnect from God's people and his church because you're suspicious and you're fearful. And in the end, paranoia begins to come in. See, that's what isolation does. Before someone pulls away, they isolate their spirit, they isolate their heart, and then you don't see them anymore in your life or your church, but something happened earlier. And I just want to encourage us tonight. Why don't we just come to God afresh? Say, God, I want to be like Daniel. I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like one of those people that, Lord, that those who trust in the Lord shall not be moved.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.